This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On the line with us now is media manager of the Out on the Fields survey, which has been released recently, Eric Dennison. Evening, Eric.
Hello, how are you going?
Not too bad. Bit of music in the background there, but that's okay.
And rocking out.
Eric, it is. Eric, Out on the Fields survey released. Very exciting and some extremely fascinating results, I see.
Yeah, no, it's quite a study, and I know you're going to talk to Sarah Dingle later on sort of in detail about the results, but, you know, thanks to your promotion and the promotion of our mainstream and LGBTI media around the world, we ended up getting 9,500 people who took part, and from all over the world, and over 3,000 from Australia, so absolutely massive study, and it's been interesting to see how much impact it's had as well in terms of media coverage, everything from CNN to ESPN to The Guardian has done multiple stories on it to, you know, lots of media here in Australia, including lots on the ABC. So yeah, there's been a fair bit of buzz about the issue of homophobia in sport over the past 48 hours or more.
Yeah, and there were a few pieces in the Sunday Press as well, The Age down here, probably your Sydney Morning Herald.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think it's really interesting because one of the questions we asked people who took part in the study is whether they thought the mainstream media did a good job of covering the issue of homophobia in sport. And overwhelmingly, people thought that there was almost no coverage or very little coverage. Because you remember, we're gay, so we pay attention to these kinds of things when they're in the press. We kind of amplify them. We notice them.
Yes.
But, you know, when you're a straight person reading the press, you know, you'd have to have a lot of stories for it to be noticeable. So I think, you know, that's definitely changed. Not only is, you know, are sports paying more attention to this issue, but I think the fact that the media is more interested in it is also indicative of a change within culture, that people are starting to realize, oh, hold on, that's right. You know, I remember that's probably not the best language I used when I was hanging out with my mates. Maybe, and, you know, again, I don't think people mean to be homophobic necessarily or discriminatory when they use this language, but by far, no matter what country we looked at, homophobic language, particularly slurs like faggot and dyke, were the number one thing reported by people. So, you know, that was a bit jaw-dropping for us.
Yes, definitely. I tend to see it in the Sunday Press. The Fairfax Media has a reporter, Jill Stark, who's been on our show before. She writes a lot about GLBTI issues and homophobia in sport, but I tend to see it. But I'm sure other people must see it in the Sunday Press too. But that exposure educates people. That's the way I see it.
I agree, because I just don't think people really think about it. I mean, if you think, why would a straight person think, oh, I wonder how this language is affecting people who are in the closet? Because, number one, the people who are in the closet, they don't even know they're gay, so they wouldn't think, oh, my mate who's in the closet, who's pretending to be straight, oh, I wonder how, you know, using this humor is bothering them. So it's just not in their awareness. And, you know, that was interesting because Gareth Thomas was the Welsh rugby legend, like the superstar who came out after his career, just sort of at the tail end of his career. He, you know, he said in a foreword that he wrote for the study that it's often the people who, you know, who use this language and don't realize it who are the first to come up to you when you come out after and say, oh, I'm sorry, I had no idea. And, you know, I didn't mean it. You know, I hope it didn't, you know, cause you any pain or grief. So I just think it's an education process. I just think it's, you know, I think, and, you know, there was a time not long ago when people were calling our Aboriginal brothers and sisters, you know, blackfellas and, you know, that kind of thing. And it was just commonplace and used racist terms. And I think we're just sort of at the start to maybe just, you know, just past the starting line in terms of the journey when it comes to gays and lesbians, bisexual and transgendered people.
I had a look at the results earlier today, Eric, and some of the key findings of sport participation. The majority of lesbian, gay, bisexual participants said that they played a wide variety of Australian sports, particularly in their youth under 22. And in one in five, you know, 22% of gay men did not play youth team sports. And many of these men cited negative experiences in their school PE class. And
43%.
43% of them, and fear that they would be rejected because of their sexuality as reasons.
Yeah, and you know, and I was one of those kids. Like, in year 10, my the abuse was so bad, and because teachers can't go into the changing room, obviously. So so they can't sort of keep the gay kids safe. So my teacher said to me, "Oh, well, we can't keep you safe, so just stop coming to class. We'll just take a spare, and we'll pass you."
That's a cop out from the teachers.
Completely. But I've heard that from heaps of other people in the process of doing the study, that kind of thing has happened. So
I'm the opposite. I actually played team sport right through school, and it didn't bother me or affect me. But you know, I'm maybe the exception, and you are the rule. I don't know.
No, and that's what's really interesting. There was a really good variety of people who took part in the study, because we were a bit nervous, because obviously going out there, a study on homophobia in sport, we thought we'd get a lot of people with problems, which, you know, maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But, you know, when you look at the number of people who didn't have bad experiences, who took part in the study, particularly lesbians, there was a huge number of lesbians who took part in the study who had no issues, no problems. They thought sport was really welcoming and safe and embracing. And same with some straight people who took part. So I think, you know, it was a good mix of people, a really wide cross-section of people and ages. And hopefully, now that the study is done and we're really clear on areas of concern, for example, PE classes, yeah, you just raised, Dougal, you know, we can start addressing those issues. At least we know where to begin. It's not sort of a blanket, let's end homophobia in sport.
And what I found even more mind-boggling was in the spectator stands. You know, 75% of Australians believe an openly gay, lesbian or bisexual person would not be very safe as a spectator at a sporting event.
Would you hold your boyfriend's hand at a sporting event?
He doesn't have a boyfriend. I have a boyfriend, and I probably wouldn't, actually. We might, neither, you know, if we were at the tennis or something, you might sit there and hold hands, but if you're at the football, I don't think you would.
No way. It would be, you know, you'd open yourself up to abuse, and so I'm not particularly surprised by that response, and I don't necessarily, and, you know, and I would think that if I went to a footy match with my boyfriend and held his hands, there's a good chance I might get beat up.
depends which area you're sitting in.
I think it's
fair to say, Eric, yeah, and before we do let you go, yeah, based on the numbers from the recently released surveys, that your homophobia and sort of appears to be, you know, quite prevalent. That had the survey pertained to Jews, black people, redheads, left-handers, disabled war veterans, or any other subset of our humankind, you know, outside it seems gay people, there'd be calls for sport to be outlawed.
Oh, completely, yeah. The Guardian made that call. And, you know, good on The Guardian, too, for being The Guardian, doing such good journalism, and the ABC. You know, Sarah Dingle did an absolutely incredible job with her story. Mind-blowing job. So thank God for the media like The Guardian and the ABC and Fairfax for taking up these issues. But absolutely, if this kind of and level of discrimination occurred for anyone else, there would be uproars, you know, absolute uproar. So, you know, I'm glad the media is paying attention. I think, you know, perhaps they should have even paid even more attention. It was interesting to see that News Limited completely ignored the story.
Of course they would.
So, you know, it's probably a bit uncomfortable for the readers to read, maybe. I don't know.
Well, no doubt the study's findings have prompted calls for a zero-tolerance approach towards homophobic discrimination and training for coaches, teachers, sport officials to help them to support their GLBTIQ athletes.
Definitely.
And of course, you know, in response to the findings, the five major sports have reaffirmed their commitment to tackle homophobia in sport. They're working to develop a Pride in Sport index, which we're going to get to a bit later in the show, Malcolm, with Tim Wilson, the Human Rights Commissioner. And Eric, we appreciate you joining us this evening to give us some thoughts on the results. And definitely we'll continue to look at these results over the next few weeks, and be good to get you back for a longer chat in another few weeks and go through some more of the results.
Good on you guys. Thanks for publicising the study and for your ongoing interest.
And of course, listeners out there that want to go online and have a look at the results, they can do that. Outinthefields.com, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's there.
Everything is there. Press releases, everything. Fantastic.
Yeah, so many resources.
No dramas. Eric, appreciate your time and all the very best.
Bye, Eric.
Bye-bye.
Eric Dennison, the media manager for the Out on the Fields survey there, study there, Mal, and very interesting to hear his thoughts on some of the results. So you go to the website, outonthefields.com.
Yep.
It has got everything there.
Yep.
Press releases, media summaries, and not just from Australia, from New Zealand to Canada to Ireland, UK, the US. It's all there. The final reports as well.
All right. Well, let listeners do that because we've got to get on with the show.
We do. We've got to go to a break. We've got to come back. And Sarah Dingle, ABC reporter. And what did the Drive Boys say earlier? If I married Sarah Dingle, then I'd be Dougal Dingle. There you go.
That's funny.
0427JOY949. 0427569949 is how you can get in touch with us this evening.
On
you can
air,
email to
onair@joy.org.au.
Thank you very much. On the other side of this, we're going to hear Sarah's report, Field of Tainted Dreams, which was aired on ABC Radio National last weekend. It was replayed last night, Tuesday night it was. And also, after that, we'll have a chat with Sarah as well and get her thoughts on some of the responses she's received since Sunday night, the Sunday morning. Of course, the background briefing on ABC Radio National. That's coming up shortly on the Sports Bag on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.